We're going to read two verses this morning, and we're going to focus on primarily one of those verses, but let's read from Psalm 27 this morning, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 27, our text will be verse 8, but we'll be meditating a great deal on the whole passage. Psalm 27, verse 8, When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Amen. May the Lord help us this morning as we study this portion together. Let's seek his face for the moving of his spirit in our hearts today. Father in heaven, we come before thee knowing that you notice all that takes place in the midst of thy people. Truly our hearts are open and bare before thee this morning. We're thankful that thy spirit, the spirit of a living Christ, is here. And by that spirit we know Christ in the midst of his people. Lord, you have said that you would be where two or three are gathered in thy name. And we know this morning that you meet with us as you meet with thy people throughout this country. As you meet with thy people in Nepal and Liberia and Australia, Lord, you meet with thy people who are gathered in the name of Christ. And Lord, we ask that by thy Spirit thou wouldst minister grace to every heart. Lord, you see the minute details of our heart this morning. You know things about ourselves that we do not even know about ourselves, things that we have forgotten. Sins that perhaps we do not even claim to be sin because our hearts are not holy enough yet to see as thou dost see. Lord, we would ask this morning that you would come near, that you would have a word in season for each of us, that you would draw our hearts out after thee, and that we would know the help of thy Spirit. Lord, come and speak to us this morning. We do plead the blood of Christ over our gathering. And we would ask that Christ would be seen and exalted in the midst of his people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The idea of seeking and finding is part of the everyday life. You seek things and hopefully you find that which you look after or seek after. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, our Lord spoke there of a woman seeking after a lost piece of silver. But in a spiritual sense, there are also matters that we must seek after and hopefully we will find. There is that sobering passage in Revelation chapter 9, and it says, in those days men will seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. There's coming a day of torment on the earth that will be so great that men will want to die, and God will not allow them to die. He's going to make them go through the torment. And yet there are positive things that we seek after and we run after, and thankfully the Lord many times allows us to find that which we are looking after. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 20, God says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. They didn't seek me, but they found me. They weren't looking for me, but I made myself known to them. Paul is dealing here with the Gentile world that was going about their own business in paganism. Oh, they had their gods, not one of them really existed. They had their doctrines, but their doctrines were more delusions than truth. And into that world, the Lord came and he made himself known to his people. I was found of them that sought me not. Perhaps that's your testimony this morning. You weren't really looking for him. You were busy going about this world, and someone came and gave you a gospel tract. Somewhere you heard perhaps the gospel on the radio, or you picked up a Bible. And while you were not looking for him, he came looking for you, and he brought you to himself in salvation. Certainly the wonder of grace is manifested that the Lord saves multitudes who were not looking for himself. They were so dead in their sins, they didn't see their need to have him. But once we are saved, we are continually to be seeking after him. It is our life mode to seek after him. When I first came here, we did a study in the Kings, And we noted that the kings of Israel were known as either those who sought after the Lord or those who did not seek after the Lord. We are to be seeking Him. That's an active seeking. We were singing one of our hymns this morning that said that sanctification was not done through any effort of your own. Well, there's some truth in that, and there's some falsehood in that. You must seek. That's your mind, your will, your decision. You must seek the Lord. He's not going to seek for you. He will work in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Yes, that is true, but we must seek after Him. We must seek after Him. And David here expresses what hopefully would be the desire of every heart here. That when the Lord comes to you and says, "Seek my face," your heart says to Him, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." I say hopefully that would be the heart's desire of every believer. But how often it is not our desire. The Lord comes to us, perhaps when we are wayward. The Lord comes to us when we are backslidden. And when He comes to us and says, "Seek my face," we start making excuses. Like the church of Laodicea, we find ourselves rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And we leave Him on the outside knocking at the door. This morning, truly, the Lord says to each one of us, "Seek ye my face." David in verse 9 responds to this by not only saying that he would seek his face, but he pleads with the Lord that he would not hide his face far from him, that he would not put away his servant in anger. He said, "You've been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me." And then he says, "My father and mother forsake me, but the Lord will take me up." That was David's confidence. When his father and mother either were dead and gone, or perhaps because of his stand for the Lord, they didn't want to stand with him. When they forsook David, David knew the Lord would take him up. In verse 13, he says, "I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Obviously, there's going to be the goodness of the Lord revealed in the future. In the land of the living when Christ comes. Obviously you will know the goodness of the Lord when you leave this life and you go to be with the Lord. You will know that goodness then. But David is seeking the Lord now for that goodness. He believed he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That he would know about the Lord's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Right now he would know that goodness. For that reason, he says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why? Because the Lord will be found of His people. The Lord is not commanding us to seek Him to mock us. If we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, if we know what it is to draw near to God through the ministry and intercession of Christ, then when God comes to us and says, "Seek ye my face," it is because He wants to be found of us. As His people. This morning I want us just to think on what it is to seek and find the Lord. To seek and to find the Lord. And there's just basically three brief thoughts that I want to bring to your attention this morning. One, the Lord proposes the need for men to seek Him. And then secondly, the Lord prepares those necessities for men to seek Him, those things that are necessary for our coming to seek Him. And then the Lord prospers the number of men who seek Him. He will prosper them spiritually. He will prosper them as they seek to do His will. First of all, the Lord proposes a need for men to seek Him. You see that here, do you not? He commands, "When thou said, seek ye my face," He comes and He says that to every man, but especially to His people. Psalm 14 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Think of that this morning. The Lord is looking down from heaven to see if there are any that understand and that seek after Him. Paul, in commenting on this passage, said, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh." None that seeketh after God. So this morning, as we come to God's Word, we know that we live in a world, and it's always been that way, a world that is not seeking after God. If anybody seeks after God, it's because God first sought after him. Oh, there are promises to those who will seek after him, and yet men neglect those promises. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, it says, if thou from hence shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. He's speaking to Israel about her backslidings, and he says, even in your backslidden state, if you will seek me with all your heart, I will be found of thee. This is what David then said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that God, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. God wants us to seek him. And he gives us the promise that if we seek him with all of our hearts, he will be found of us. But how often we don't seek him with all of our hearts. We have within us this morning the Bible sitting in our laps, and the Bible tells us about men and women who did not seek him, or who sought him half-heartedly. When Asa was going to battle, the prophet came to Asa and went out to meet him and said, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he'll be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Same words that David spoke to his son Solomon is now being spoken to Asa, 2 Chronicles 15:2. You see, the problem is not with the Lord. The problem is with us. The problem is with our seeking. The problem with our desire for seeking. We will seek anything but the Lord. We will seek good things. That's not necessarily bad. We will seek things that we have to make our living in this world. That's not a bad thing. But the Lord demands that we seek him. And he lays before us the promise, and yet we don't seek him. You say, I sought him when I was saved, and I called upon him, and he answered me. Are you seeking him now that you're saved? You say, I sought him a year ago. Are you seeking him this year? I sought him a week ago. Are you seeking him this week? I sought him yesterday. Are you seeking him today? 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 10, the command is given, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. So yes, you say, I sought him and he saved me. Yes, I sought him last year. Yes, I have been seeking him this year. Are you seeking him this morning? If not, why not? Well, somebody said such and such to me. Somebody did something to me. No one can keep you from seeking the Lord. We live in a time of apostasy. We know that. But there's not one apostate upon earth that can keep you from seeking the Lord. We live in a time of great immorality. I know that. You know that. But there's not one person living in immorality that can keep you from seeking and finding the Lord. The only one that can keep Mark Allison from seeking and finding the Lord is Mark Allison. The command is given from Jehovah that we are to seek him with all of our hearts. Are we doing that? And if not, why not? You say, well, I'm a busy person. This command was given to busy people. None busier than David, and the Lord came to him, seek ye my face. And the Lord's response in the heart of David was, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, to have a heart like David, that when the Lord comes and puts that need to seek him upon our hearts, we run to him. We stop making excuses. We stop finding other things to do, but we run to him. How often the burdens that we bear are borne so long, and we wouldn't need to bear them so long if we had come to him and just eased our heart with the burden by bringing it to him. God commands each one of us this morning to seek him. We have parents here who are seeking the Lord. Children, are you seeking the Lord? You're a child this morning, you say, I'm seeking him, but my parents are not seeking him. For yourself this morning, are you seeking the Lord? As families, are we seeking the Lord? As a church, are we seeking him? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. God is coming to us this morning and saying the same thing that he said to David. He is saying, seek ye my face. The Lord also prepares those necessities that we must have in order to seek his face. We are sinners coming unto him. He is a God of holiness, a God who dwells in light that is unapproachable, a God who has consumed those who have come into his presence in the wrong manner. How then do we come unto this God? Well, we must approach him in the manner that he reveals. He reveals himself, and he says, seek me. Therefore, we come unto him, not unto any God, not unto idols. He says, if you come to idols, you hate me. You say he doesn't say that. He does say that in the Ten Commandments. If you make an idol, if you bow to the idol, you are demonstrating a hatred for God. That's not me saying that. That's God saying that to us this morning. And so we are to come to him. He said, seek me. Seek my face. You don't find that face in an idol. You don't find it on a piece of tapestry. You come spiritually to seek his face. Well, how do we know what he is like? Well, we know what he is like by that which he has revealed in his word. When David tried to please the Lord and seek his face as concerning moving the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle that he had made for it, he did it according to his own imagination. Or perhaps he did it according to the way that the Ark of the Covenant had been moved by the Philistines. And he brings it by an ark, and as he brings it by an ark, the ark stumbles, and one of the men reached out his hand to steady the ark, and God smote him dead, and David became bitter. He was afraid of God. Well, why continue on serving the Lord if this is going to be the lot? If the Lord's not going to be pleased with my service, why serve the Lord? And he sat for days and for weeks, and God dealt with his heart. He went back to the scripture and found out in scripture that the reason God smote him was not because he was displeased with a desire to serve him. The reason God smote him was because he wasn't doing it according to the way God had revealed. And David himself comments and he says, for because ye did it not at the first, he's speaking to the priest, because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. How do you seek God? According to the due order. According to what he has revealed. According to his word. That's how we seek him. Well, once we begin to seek him according to his word, we know we need sacrifice. We know we need a blood atonement. We've sinned against him. We've broken his law. How do we seek him? According to the due order, we must come with sacrifice. And we find that even when David was moving the ark, he not only was now having it carried by the priest on their shoulders, as was commanded, but he was putting a burnt offering, as it were, a blood atonement before every step that he took. Second Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16. It says, after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. This is dealing later on from the time period that we're at now, back in the later days of the nation, back in the days of Asa and Hezekiah and Josiah. They realized that when they sought the Lord, they had to come with sacrifice. They had to come with a blood atonement. This word to seek is often translated to pray, to request of the Lord. The two are very interconnected. If I'm requesting something from the Lord, it's because I have sought him to ask it. And if I am seeking him, obviously I'm coming with my burdens and my needs. So sometimes in the Authorized Version, the word to seek is translated to seek, as we have here. Sometimes it is translated to request. How do you have any confidence of requesting anything from the Lord? It is because He is gracious, it is because He is merciful, it is because He is forgiving that you and I can come into His presence knowing that He has removed our sins through the blood of the Lamb. Yes, it is needful that we seek Him, but we must seek Him in the proper way, and that is through the blood of the Lamb, according to His word. Some would be intimidated even in their seeking. They know that the way before them is a blood-sprinkled way. Just as the blood was sprinkled on the path that would lead into the Holy of Holies, so they know that when they come unto God, they are stepping on that blood-sprinkled way, and the blood is between them and God. They know that. And yet when they look at their own heart and actions, they say, I can't approach God, I can't pray. They ask to compare themselves with another brother or sister in Christ, and they love to hear them pray. They love to see them lead the congregation before God. But when it comes to their own heart, they say, I can't do that. I can't come. And yet in Romans chapter 10, it speaks of the fact that you and I have a righteousness imputed to us that is perfect. In verse 3, Paul, writing about the Jews, said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of a law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What were the Jews doing? They were looking, they were seeking for their own righteousness whereby they could come unto God. And Paul says, not knowing of God's righteousness, and not submitting to that righteousness, we could say in the context of our message this morning, not seeking that righteousness, they were going about trying to establish their own. Brethren, God has made everything that you need to come unto Him. He has given you a robe of righteousness. Paul calls it a breastplate of righteousness. Put it on when you go into His presence. You say, between me and God is this accuser. Sometimes I hear His whispering in my ears. Sometimes He actually speaks through others. And He is accusing me and accusing me and accusing me of my imperfections. Well, your imperfections will be with you to the day you die. But God has given you a breastplate of righteousness to deal with that accuser of the brethren and take the shield of faith, which will protect your whole body, and go and seek God this morning. Your heart cries out against you. The righteousness God gives you answers to the heart. It tells you that you have a standing that is perfect. And so let us put on that breastplate of righteousness. Let us indeed lay hold of the fact that we have this standing with God. And by faith, let us go and approach Him, not fearing the accuser of the brethren. In this world, there are people who make it their lot just to go around and accuse the brethren. That's what their lot is in life. They're like dogs chasing cars. They can't stop yapping. And if you're going to be a brother in Christ and walk with the Lord and follow after Him, you're going to have to ignore all the yapping dogs that are in this world that are accusing you because you want to do His bidding. I couldn't stand before you and preach this morning. I couldn't stand and sing. I couldn't go out and witness if I had to do it perfectly. Nobody can. But you and I have been given a perfect righteousness whereby we can attempt now to follow after Him and do His bidding with joy. We can seek Him, knowing that, yes, to address Him and to come into His presence would mean that we would be consumed because of our sins, yet we can seek Him. You can seek Him. I can seek Him. Why? Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. We can seek Him this morning. And if that were not the case, every one of us should be drawing back and saying, I cannot seek this God because I will be consumed in His midst. He is, after all, a consuming fire. God says it's necessary for you to seek Me, and I have provided the necessities whereby you can seek Me. We add unto that, that there is one in glory who will help us seek Him. There is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself this morning, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7 says. He is there. He is the one making intercession. And so you and I can come through his intercession and plead with God, knowing that he will be found of us. Along with that, the Lord also produces a new heart whereby we will seek him. When thou dost say, seek ye my face, there was a day when God said that to you in salvation and you sought him. Oh, you may not have heard an audible voice, but a command was given from the throne. Just as the command from our Lord outside the tomb to Lazarus was, come forth. So there was a command with your name upon it, and the Lord said to you, seek me. And you sought him that day, and you lived. Like the hymn writer says, I sought the Lord, but afterward I knew I sought him seeking me. There is none seeking the Lord. Now, Paul makes that clear, as we have already stated in Romans 3. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they weren't seeking the Lord. They were hiding from his presence. Then why are you seeking the Lord? It's because God has done a work in your heart. Theologians call that an effectual call. He shows you your sin and misery. You know you need help. You know you need a physician for your soul. And then he comes and he enlightens your minds in the knowledge of Christ. He shows you the beauty of Christ, that he is the great physician that you need. And then he comes and he does something else. He renews your will so you might come. And so here is spiritual life given to you to come. There's the cleansing of the blood so that you can come, even though you have sinned in the past. There is a perfect righteousness to help you to come. You have one in the glory to help you in the presence of God as you pray. What excuse do we have this morning for not seeking him? Is it not really a love of sin? Is it not really a love of the things of this world? Is that not the only reason we don't seek him? He wants us to seek him. He commands it. He provides by giving us new life, giving us a new standing before God, giving us one interceding on our behalf. We must seek him. Well, now to say, seek ye my face. Thou who didst make the blood atonement, thou who hast given me the perfect righteousness, thou who art interceding in our behalf, when thou dost say, seek ye my face, my heart says, I will seek. What are some of the benefits that are ours when we seek him? Well, there is the purity of the heart and the blessedness of indeed God sanctifying us through fellowship with him. Spurgeon said, even seeking has a sanctifying influence. What a consecrating power must lie in finding and enjoying God's face and favor. So if seeking has a sanctifying influence, how much more finding him? He says to desire communion with God is a purifying thing. Oh, to hunger and thirst more and more after a clear vision of the face of God. This will lead us to purge ourselves from all filthiness and to walk with heavenly circumspection. My heart said unto thee. When you say that back to God, my heart said unto thee, you are indeed going against things in your old flesh that draw back from seeking after him. When you say, my heart says unto you, I will seek you, you're saying that which is contrary to this world, which is all going the other direction. When you say, my heart will seek after you, you're going against the evil one himself, the prince of the power of the air, who indeed is not seeking after him. Do we not live in a nation like that today? You look, and sometimes you look, and you look, and you look. Is there not somebody out there in the world seeking after him? No, they are, but the news media aren't going to put that on the news. You have a calamity, and somebody in that calamity begins praising the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy in the calamity, and take the microphone away, shut the microphone off. We don't want that to go over the airways. We live in a land where there are people throughout the land seeking him. I just came back from Greenville. It was good to be in a prayer meeting there and to hear the people calling on the name of the Lord. You know what they feel there? The same thing you feel here. Isolation. Loneliness. Why aren't there more seeking the Lord's face? But they are seeking the Lord's face. We were up in Allentown at the church in Allentown for a meeting. People up there seeking the Lord's face. Now, you say, well, they're seeking the Lord's face. What do they feel up there? Same thing you feel here. I was in the Korean church and we were there praying, seeking the Lord's face. What do they feel? Same thing you feel here. Isolation, battle, war, wondering is it worth it, seeking the Lord's face. And yet the Lord has been calling to people to seek His face. Just in our church, yes, but throughout the United States, throughout Canada, throughout the world, they're seeking His face because that's what God's people do. That's what they do. And as they do it, the very seeking is indeed a purifying of the heart. It is also the promoting of the men who seek Him. God's blessing is revealed in His face. Spurgeon again said, the Lord may hide His face for a season from His people, but He never has utterly, finally, really, or angrily forsaken them that seek Him. He may hide His face that you and I seek Him more diligently, but He won't forsake you. He cannot. Because to forsake you would be to forsake Himself. He is the one who's made the promise. Let me give you a promise in Psalm 9 and verse 10. They that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Thou hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Those that put their trust in Thee. Psalm 69:32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Your heart will live that seek God. That's blessing, is it not? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, Psalm 34:10 says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 119 and verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and they that seek Him with a whole heart. They're blessed by God. He delivers them from the enemy and danger. Psalm 34 verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He grants them joy in a difficult world. Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. And let such as love Thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. You're going to live forever. He gives us life. He blesses us and exalts us because we seek after Him. For that reason, the psalmist says in Psalm 105, verse 3, glory in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And yet, those who do not seek Him will be punished. There is reward. God gives us life. He blesses us. He exalts us. He commands us to seek Him, and then He blesses us because we seek Him. He commands us to seek Him, and He makes everything necessary whereby we can seek Him. In a sense, He makes it easy for us. And then He blesses us because we do seek Him. And yet, those who refuse to seek Him are punished. Because when they don't seek Him, they're saying there isn't one in glory. By their actions, they're saying there isn't one in glory interceding on my behalf. By their actions, they're saying, I don't have that imputed righteousness. By their actions, they're saying, I don't believe in a blood atonement that enables me to come. By their actions, they're saying, I don't have a heart to do this, meaning I'm not born from above. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now, obviously, this is dealing with someone who's not saved. There are times God is not in our thoughts, but He keeps bringing us back, saying to you and to me, seek ye my face. You know, there are some things I can't tell you what to do because it depends upon what you as an individual or as a family has decided to do. Things that are left in your regard as to how you're going to raise your family, as to where you're going to work, as to what house you're going to live in. There are things there that I have no command over. I cannot say to you, this is God's will, unless, of course, you start breaking God's command in where you're working, or you break God's command as to where you live. But I can come to anyone here this morning, and I can say to you at any time of the day, any day of the week, any week of the year, I can come to you and say, it is God's will for you to seek Him. Because that's exactly what God is telling us this morning. Stephen Charnock, the Puritan, said, a God forgotten is as good as no God to us. And then he went on to say, the covenant of grace engageth the whole heart to God and bars anything else from ensnaring it. But what strangers are God and the souls of most men. What strangers are God and the souls of most men? Today he commands us to seek him, and he's made the way to do it. The question is, will we respond like David and say, thy face, Lord, will I seek? Let's pray. Gracious Father, that you would come to each one of us this morning and say, seek ye my face, truly is staggering to us. We have sinned against thee. We have done that which is unrighteous and not righteous. We've sinned against our own mediator. And yet, Lord, you bid us to seek thee this morning. You come and tell us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto you. Lord, you have said that you would give us that peace that passeth understanding if we would come and give to thee all of our anxieties and all of our cares. And yet, Lord, we don't come. Lord, give us confidence in the blood atonement this morning. Give us confidence in the continual intercession of Christ. Give us a lively faith this day in the gospel of Christ that we might seek after thee. Lord, we, like David, know what it is for you to say, seek ye my face. And yet, Lord, we know, unlike David, what it is to turn thee aside and to seek after other things. Lord, we know that we can seek thee while we seek what is best for our families. We know that we can seek thee while we seek what is best in the places that we work. We know that we can seek thee when we seek what is best for the nation. But Lord, we ask that you would give us grace, that these other things would not replace our seeking of thee, but that would be a part of our seeking thee. Lord, help us each one, we pray. May we seek and find thee. May we seek thee this week. May we seek thee Tuesday night in a prayer meeting. May we seek thee on Saturday morning in our prayer meeting. May we seek thee throughout this day, even in the service, the brief time of prayer afterwards. May we seek thee and find thee. May we know your help. Lord, go with us this day. Give us grace to spend much time in thy word, seeking thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.